leaders, leadership people and teams. And there was a group of men who got the Men in Tights Awards. And who was it, Ben? And where's Hugh? Where's your flower, Hugh? That's probably a good thing. And Hugh in the middle there had a flower in his ear and was wearing tights. I think that was getting just a bit too far out there for the rest of us. But who else got the tights? I can't remember. Tom got tights. I hear that Tom actually enjoys the tights. I hear in the youth program that Tom is the first to jump into the tights when it's necessary. Is that right? That is right, isn't it? The Superman tights, the Batman tights, the Robin tights. What other tights are there? Tights for the sake of tights, Ben says. I think that's about the size of it. All right. So that's cool. Father, we thank you for your presence with us today. We thank you, Lord, for what you want to do in our hearts. We thank you for the word you want to speak into us, and we open ourselves to you today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I want to share with you today, we're on our values, well done, good and faithful servant. And so we've been going through that. We started with passion, and then we got into well done, good and faithful servant. So remember, there was servant, and then faithful servant, and then good and faithful servant. You remember all that? If you don't remember all that, you can get it on the podcast or you can get a set later on and enjoy those. Get them over and over and over in your head, do that sort of stuff. But today is the last part of that. It's Matthew 25, verse 21 and 23, of course, parable of the talents, where the guys were given resources, went off, did their thing, came back, and got the approval of the master. Well done, good and faithful servant. And today we're looking at that one, well done. Well, not just done, but well done. Not just done, not just finished, not just, oh, we got there, not just, oh, we got over the line, but well done, well done. Remember that each of these guys that got this approval, well done, each of them doubled their resources. It wasn't a matter of like a 5% profit or a 10% profit. We're talking 100% profit off of the investment that the master had put into them. I would call that well done. Now, I want to say to you that well done, and what we're talking about is excellence. I would say to you that excellence is not necessarily 100% profit. It's not necessarily an amount. It's not something that you can measure exactly that way unless you've set yourself a goal or an agenda to do so. But it's not really talking about that. It's talking about an attitude of life that is to give our very best in our service for God. And I would like to say that that should then, just like character, just like faithfulness, just like servanthood, it would overflow then, I would hope, into every part of our lives. That we would have this value that says, I want to give my best for the glory of God. Amen? Very good. Wanting to turn to Numbers chapter 18, verse 25. Numbers 18, verse 25. Just the principle of excellence and the giving of our best. It comes out of the... It's right through the scriptures, but we come back here to the sacrificial system and the offering system of the Jews in the Old Testament. And in Numbers 18, verse 25, it says, "The Lord said to Moses, speak to the Levites and say to them, when you receive the tithe from the Israelites, the tithe I give you as your inheritance, you must present a tenth of that tithe as the Lord's offering. Your offering will be reckoned to you as grain from the threshing floor, or juice from the wine press." In this way, I wouldn't see juice anyway, it doesn't matter. I was thinking juice from the wine press. I'm thinking like orange juice, apple juice, and just didn't make sense to me when I read it, but that's probably just me. In this way, you will also present an offering to the Lord from all the tithes you receive from the Israelites. From these tithes, here it is, you must give the Lord's portion to Aaron the priest. You must present as the Lord's portion the best and holiest part of everything given to you. What does it say? That's really pathetic. What does it say? The best and the holiest part. Present the best and the holiest part. Interesting that the people were giving of their best to the priests, the Levites, to support them, and then the Levites would give of their best to support Aaron and to give as just outright offerings to God. That the principle was, give your best to God. Give your best to God. Now, we're going to get off offerings in a minute, but just while we're on the subject of offerings, I think about that thing that David said, I will not offer to God anything that costs me nothing. And I realize that's exactly the same spirit. It's a spirit of excellence that says, I want to give God something that costs me. I want to make sure that I'm giving Him my best. Not my second best, not just that'll do, but I want to give Him my best. I think about other offering examples right through the scriptures. I think about the widow of Zarephath. The prophet comes, she's about to starve to death with her son, and he says, give me first. Remember in the story, she was already going to go and get him a drink of water. This is a lady who is on her last meal and is going to die, thinks she's going to die, but she's already thinking, I'm going to serve the man of God. I'm going to go and get a drink of water for this guy, then we'll have our last meal and we'll die. Isn't that a fascinating way for this lady to be thinking? Facing death, facing eternity, she says, I'm going to make sure that I'm serving. And then Elijah says to her, give me first of what you have. And this lady was amazing to her credit, gives him first out of the little that she has, knowing she's going to die, and God blesses and provides. Amazing. Excellence. Excellence. An excellent spirit. Jesus was standing watching the offerings being made, and a little widow lady came in and put in the smallest amount. But Jesus said, this woman has given more than them all, because she's given everything she's got. What? She has given her best. She's given her best. The other guys came in and they blew trumpets and said, look at me, look at me. Put in $1,000. You know, they got millions. They put in $1,000 and they said, aren't we great? And Jesus said, I couldn't care less about that. It's not about the amount of money. It's about what's in the heart, what's in the spirit. And this little old lady comes in with all she's got and gives her best to God. And Jesus said, that's impressive. That's impressive, because that's the right spirit. Let's move off of offerings, you know, to some other stuff. Colossians chapter 3. If you have a look, verse 23 and 24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. What should we be doing to our best? Whatever, everything. He said, whatever you do, do it as unto God. Let there be a spirit of excellence in everything that you do. The way you greet people when you come to church. The way you go to your office during the week at work. How do you come in? Do you come in grumbling and moaning and groaning and tired and oppressed and saying, oh, I'm a misery gut, so I'm going to make everybody else feel it? That's hardly a spirit of excellence, is that? You don't do that, do you, Pat? Try not to. Enjoys that drive or train trip up the drive up to Sydney and gets there fired up and energetic, ready to rip. It's all about everything we do in our lives and saying, I'm going to have a spirit of excellence in the things that I do. When I come into worship, am I waiting for someone to rev me up? Or if I come with a spirit of excellence, I'm going to give my best to God. I'm going to get in here and I'm going to praise God, jump on the seats, jump around, clap, dance, hallelujah, all or whatever else. But I'm going to give my best. It may not be jumping on seats. You might not be very good at that. But it might be something along those lines. Have a look at Ephesians chapter 6. Is that okay? Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians 6 verse 5. We're going to do it. We're really surfing the Bible today, so you've got to be quick. Ephesians 6 verse 5, slaves. Okay, let's talk about people who've really got it bad. Slaves, how should they behave? Obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. Whether you're a slave or free, whether you're in hardship or whether you're in plenty, whatever your circumstance of life, he says, do everything you do with an excellent spirit as serving God. The best, the very best that you can do. I want to say to you so clearly that excellence is not about having the best, but it's about doing the best. Yep. It's not about having the best thing, but it's about giving the best we've got. It's not about being the best at any particular thing, but it's about doing our best in everything. That's what it's about. Not excusing ourselves, not saying, oh, you know, the reality is that there are people in abject poverty who have an incredible, excellent spirit. Anybody who's been into third world developing nations have seen kids emerging from a slum with a pristine white shirt going along to school. That I'm never ceased to be amazed by that. Go into a slum house and it's pristine, clean. Everything's clean. Everything's looked after. The children, whatever scant food there is prepared and given to the children. Whatever clothes there are, they're clean and they're neat and they're tidy. Amazing! Because you see a person, not everybody in those situations like that, but you see them. And what that is a person with an excellent spirit. Yeah. Saying, I am not going to be set upon by my circumstance. I have an excellent spirit and I'm going to do the best. My children may not have much, but they will go out with the best they've got. The best that I can do for them is what they will go out into the world with. That's an amazing spirit. Yeah. An excellent spirit. I think that's what we should be aiming for. Amen? Praise God. Have a look at Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 6. I'm going to give you a bunch of these. I just hope that we catch something this morning. And this is Daniel. He's a captive from Israel. He's brought into a foreign land. But he's a really smart guy, very attractive guy, and rises to the top of the heap. And it says Darius is the ruler. Darius, it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom with three administrators over them, and one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Just get this, there's locals, these rulers, local satraps, administrators, etc. They're going to be overseen by this Hebrew boy who is a captive. Okay, they're not very impressed with this situation. Okay, but it says, now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his what? Exceptional qualities. Some scriptures will say his excellent spirit. Same thing. That the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. And all the other guys weren't too happy. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs. But look at this. But they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man unless it has something to do with the law of his God. Imagine living a life. Imagine the kind of excellent spirit where someone could look at the whole of your life and say, we can't find anything about this guy. And so the only way we're going to trip him up is because he has integrity in his walk with God. Isn't that amazing? Faithfulness, integrity, excellence of spirit. They couldn't touch him except for his integrity before God. What a way to live your life. What a way to declare a witness for God. Is that people could look at all of your life and they could go, we just can't say anything against this person. They've just got a spirit of excellence in everything they do. We don't understand it, but that's who they are. Everything they do, it's just this amazing, excellent spirit. They serve, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's a good boss or a bad boss, whether it's a tough challenge, whether it's easy, they give their best every time. What an amazing spirit. I see that spirit in our church. I see it in the people that do all kinds of things in the life of our church and in the community. I see it happening. I see volunteers giving of their best, not only to our church, but when our volunteers serve community groups, getting out there, giving their best to serve God. It's an amazing testimony and witness for the glory of God. It's fantastic to see people with an excellent spirit say, I'm going to live my life in excellence. So I want us to think about that today. But as I was thinking about it, I was thinking about all the obstacles that get in the way of people serving with excellence in their life, people living an excellent life. And I'm going to give you five today. Is that all right? Five. You're going to have to be quick. We'll get through them, I hope. And here they come. The first one, the first obstacle I think we need to overcome is the obstacle of ignorance. Ignorance. Turn to the person next to you and say, don't be ignorant. You've got to say it like that too. You've got to say, I'm ignorant. I'm ignorant, mate. You don't, ignorance. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the fact that some people don't have any examples of excellence in their life. They don't have anybody who's living an excellent life. They've got examples of drunkenness. They've got examples of foul mouth. They've got examples of, you know, slackness and she'll be right, mate, and don't worry about it and just do the least you can. Got all those examples going on, but not necessarily an example of excellence. Got to thinking about, I actually read an article during the week on this area and it identified Moses as an example of excellence, which I was interested in because the first temple to be built was actually not a physical brick and mortar building, it was actually a tent. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm going to put up a tent to have a church service in, then, you know, that's, I'll get a tent and we'll put it up. We've done that. You know, get a marquee, whatever. But it may not be, you know, the best marquee that's out there. It may not be hired from one of the hire companies with all that beautiful, you know, cost thousands of dollars. It may not, it may be, but it may not be that. But when I look at Moses and the building of the, what they called the tabernacle or the tent of meeting, when they built that, it's amazing what they did with that place. It was built with the best of everything, gold and silver and precious things and fine linens and the whole, it's just amazing. And they would pack it all up and transport it and then put it all up again, and they'd pack it up and transport it and put it all up again. And it was always the absolute best. I had a look at that and I looked at what happened. And in Exodus chapter 40 and verse 16, it says that Moses did everything just as the Lord commanded him. And if you go back a little bit, we see that this is how the artisans, the skilled workers, this is the example they followed. In chapter 36, verse 1, it says, Bezalel, Aholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord has given skill and ability to know how to carry out all the work of constructing the sanctuary are to work just as the Lord has commanded. Interesting, isn't it? Moses wanted to do everything just as God commanded, and those who worked for him, they wanted to do the same thing. We're going to do everything just as God commands us to do. Then Moses summoned Bezalel and Aholiab and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who's willing to come and do the work. I like that. They were willing to come. They received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And then in verse 8, it says, all the skilled men among the workmen made the tabernacle with 10 curtains of finely twisted linen and blue, purple, and scarlet yarn with cherubim worked into them by a skilled craftsman. I'm just interested that Moses wanted to do everything just as God had commanded. Remember that back in his life, he had tried to do things his own way. He tried to get stuff done his own way. Killed the guy, tried, got into trouble, all that sort of stuff. He tried to do things his own way, but he had learnt in his time in the wilderness, he had learned, you better do stuff the way God says. And so he had a spirit of excellence. I want to do what God says. And then those who worked for him who were skilled in what they did had the same value. We're going to do the way God says to do it. And they built one of the most amazing tents that was ever built and ever constructed. So have that as part of your look for somebody in your life who has that excellent spirit. Think about people in your workplace who exemplify that. Think about people in your church life, people who you know who love God with all their hearts. Think about those people and say, that's what I want to be like. Don't let ignorance hold you up from having an excellent spirit. Think about people who are ahead of the game on this one and say, I want to be like that. I want to have their passion. I want to have their servanthood. I want to have their generosity. I want to have their tolerance. I want to have whatever it is that that person's got in their life. I want to have an excellent spirit. Let that build into you. The second one is motivation. This is probably more important than all the rest because everything rides on the why, doesn't it? If you've got a challenge, you need a bigger why. You just need a reason that you're going to do this thing. You need something that's going to drive you through all the rest of the challenges that we'll identify in a minute. So what is your reason for excellence? What's your reason for it? Some people have excellence because they've got ambition. They want to achieve. They want to get ahead. So they say, well, I'm going to be excellent because I want to do the best thing and be the best and compete with everybody else. That's what I want to do. I want to have ambition. That's why I want to be excellent. I don't think that's the highest motivator for excellence. I think the highest motivator is very simple. Jesus said in John 8:49, in an argument with the Pharisees, he said, I honor my Father and you dishonor me. I honor my Father and you dishonor me. I think in that little nutshell, Jesus identified the motivation for excellence. He said, I'm about honoring God, but you guys are really about honoring yourself and dishonoring everybody else. He said, I'm about honoring my Father in heaven. I believe the greatest motivator for us to have excellent spirit is that we bring honor to God. That your life would actually bring honor to God. That it wouldn't be that people would look at you and despise God, but they would look at you and they would honor God. Just like Daniel. And they would say, I can't find anything about this guy. It's just all there. He's got it under control. It's all there. And they would honor God. Have a look at some scriptures with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 20 says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. I think it's very helpful for us to think all the time, as much as we can, that we are representatives of God, that we're actually ambassadors of God, of Christ. You know, you look at the ambassadors and they all show up in a nice car with nice clothes. You don't see some guy from an impoverished nation show up with rags, you know, pulling a rickshaw, running into the meeting of the ambassadors. You don't see that. What you see is you see the best that that country can produce. When the ambassador is going to that meeting, is going to that head of state meeting or whatever it is, you see the best that that country can produce. When we're going to be an ambassador for Christ, when we go to our school, when we go to our workplace, the way we present ourselves in those environments, the way we speak, the way we interact with other people, are we presenting the best that we are as ambassadors for Christ? Or is it sort of some slapdash, half-hearted, pathetic effort to get by and fit in? I think we need to change some stuff. Titus chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. It's very challenging, this excellent stuff, isn't it? Because every time you talk about it, you think about all the things that just aren't quite what you'd like them to be. And I just want to say to you, things don't have to be perfect. We're going to give our best. You know, you don't knock yourself out trying to outdo everybody else. Just do the best that you've got. Come with an excellent spirit. Just have it as an attitude in your heart and in your mind and let it live out. Yeah. Don't get all pent up about it. Titus chapter 2, verse 9. Here we are, the slaves again. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them. There's a good idea. There's employment policies right there. Don't talk back. I was down praying this morning before the Dapto service, and there was this lady. Isn't it amazing how people love to conduct their lives on mobile phones at 1,000 decibels? It's absolutely wonderful. So she's walking across the car park, abusing an employee. Just into it. Oh, you're going to do it the way I'm going to do it. I pay your wages. Because I'm doing all this study on transformational leadership and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, lady, you just haven't got the first clue how to build a relationship with your staff and get them to do what you want. Here you are abusing them over the phone. They're already not doing what you've told them to do. And then she's saying, well, if you don't like it, then quit. And I'm thinking, lady, if I was working for you, that'd be the invitation I'd like. I'd just be going, yep, see you later. Anyway, that was by the by. Don't steal from them. Don't talk back. And show that they can be fully trusted. So that in every way they will make, look at this, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. A slave making the teaching about God attractive. Awesome. Just awesome. An excellent spirit. Doesn't matter what position you hold, doesn't matter what power you have, what matters is the heart, the excellence of spirit that will make the teaching attractive. So many others. Ephesians 4, 1, Colossians 1, 10, 1 Thessalonians 2, over and over and over and over. Paul is teaching the church, and in all of those he's saying, have a life that is worthy of the gospel. Live a life worthy of the gospel. He's not saying live a life so that God will accept you. No, we're only accepted in Jesus, that's all. But he's saying, now that you've received the gospel, live out a life that's worthy of it. Live a life that's worthy of what you've already received. That's what he's saying. Excellence comes from honoring the Lord and representing him well. Amen. In offerings, Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your crops. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits, the best stuff of what you receive. Honor God with those things. I believe that was the spirit that David had when he was wanting to honor to God and give to God. The third one. First one, ignorance. Second one, motivation. Third one is lack. 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 Terrible word, isn't it? I lack this and I lack that. I think that some people don't think they can do excellently because they feel like they have got nothing to give. They feel like they've got no. I've got nothing, so I can't do the best. You can do your best. Not the best, but you can do your best. I got to thinking about somebody who had absolutely nothing but came to a place of excellence. Not only once, but twice. From a place of having nothing, purely by excellence of service and spirit, rose in the ranks. And I was thinking about Joseph and the dream coat, you know, that guy, and who gets sold into slavery And then from slavery, he's in Potiphar's house as a servant and a slave. And then he gets imprisoned and falsely accused and so on. But what I noticed is that in both places, he has nothing. Talk about lack. He's got nothing. Doesn't even have the coat of his back because they've taken that, ripped it up, put blood all over and given it to his dad. So he doesn't even have the coat on his back. He's got nothing. But in Potiphar's house, through excellence of service, he rises to the top. In the prison, where he's lost even his influence in Potiphar's house, he's lost even what he's gained there. It's all gone. He's got nothing again. He doesn't just get mealy-mouthed and downhearted and stick in the dirt, but he begins by excellence of service and he rises again in the prison until he gets to the top. And in both places, everything is given into his hand and those in charge don't even worry about anything because Joseph is there and he has an excellent spirit. Interesting, isn't it? So many people want to go and have influence, they want to have position, they want to have prominence, but they don't necessarily want to have excellence when no one's looking. But Joseph has excellence when he had nothing and he rose to a place of influence. And when it came, if you have a look, let me get the reference, Genesis chapter 41, verse 33. When it came to the Pharaoh trying to find somebody to place in charge of the whole land, what were the qualities? Now, this is what Joseph identified. He said to Pharaoh, he said, let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. I don't think Joseph had any idea that he was going to be that guy. I think Joseph was simply there delivering a message from God and saying, I don't know where this is going to go, but I'm just going to be faithful to what God has told me. And he says to him, okay, you find, what does it say? A discerning and a wise man and put him in charge of the whole of Egypt. And we all know, or most of us would know, the story goes on and Pharaoh says, well, what about you? Nobody else here could tell me the dream. Nobody else here has the same sort of spirit that you have. What about you being in charge of the whole of Egypt? And here is a guy that came from nothing, sold into slavery, rose up in slavery, from slavery, lesser, into prison, rose up in prison, but he had a quality of spirit that caused him to be the best in the land. Yeah. Don't tell me that lack is going to stop you from having an excellent spirit. It simply won't. Lack does not stop you from having an excellent spirit. Just have a vision, have a drive, and take some steps of faith. And start to serve and to give and to do what's in your heart with an excellent spirit. Amen? Number four, you ready? You with me? We're still on it. We're still awake. We're not. If anyone is asleep, wake them up next year if they're all. Come on. Number four, weariness. Weariness. Weary. How many people get weary when they're trying to do their best? Everyone get weary with that? You're trying to do your best. You ever see kids do that? On your best behavior. And that kid, man, he'd get tired of that pretty quick. You can see that fidgety kid just can't handle that being on his best behavior. Sunday. And we used to go to church in our Sunday best. Anyone ever grew up with that? Way back in the 60s and 70s, you know, when I was a kid, we would get dressed up in all this finery. I really don't know. We were in the country, you know, after church, you go out and you throw cowpats around. I mean, this is... Why are we getting dressed? I even had a tie at one point. There was a little tie that me and my three brothers, we all had, my two brothers, three of us, and we all had a tie and you'd wear the little tie and all that sort of stuff. I don't see any of the children here wearing ties. I think we're losing standards in the church somewhere. No children wearing ties. And we used to have to wear them. I'm joking. No ties next week. And we used to wear the ties and just amazing, and you come with all that sort of stuff. Not quite sure where I was going with that. Oh, weariness. And then and you see these kids, and they're just trying to do the right thing and just grow weary. And there's a scripture about that, isn't there? In Galatians 6, verse 9, it says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Yep. I looked up that word in the original language, that doing good bit, and I won't bore you with the word, because we won't pronounce it right anyway, but it means ideal doing or beautiful, excellent making. It's talking about doing things excellently. And it says, don't become weary when you're doing excellence. Don't become weary with those things. Because you're going to reap if you don't lose heart, if you don't step back, push in and push through. Can I encourage you that in your excellence that you're seeking, that you get refreshed and that you press on? That these become the characteristics of who we are, that we're doing the best thing. I know how it goes. We're trying our best, we're doing our best, and it seems like the straw that breaks the camel's back just comes at us. Anyone know what I'm talking about? We're trying to live right, we're trying to do right, we're trying to be, you know, the best we can be, and then it's just another thing gets onto us, and we go, oh, you're joking. That's the moment where we have to make a decision. Am I going to be my best, or am I going to let it go and let it slide? I really believe they are the decision points of life. Not when you've got it all happening and it's all easy and it's all good. When you're in that pressure point and when that last straw comes, that's the decision. Am I going to honor God? Am I going to press through? What's going to happen? Peter said in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, he said, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord," or from the Lord. The old versions say from the presence of the Lord. I just love that little bit. Times of refreshing. It's not as if you come to God, you get, you know, born again and come alive, and then you've just got to live out your whole life hoping that the petrol tank doesn't run out. You know what I'm talking about? You know, that you come to that place where God just refreshes you. That's why we encourage people to meet with God every day and hear the voice of God and have Him speak into our lives regularly, because we know that it's not about just living in our own strength. We know that it's about living in the refreshing of God. That if you're not refreshed in the presence of God, then you won't have the strength to live the kind of life that gives an example of His honor and glory. Amen? Be refreshed by the Lord. Last one, you ready? Here it comes. Distraction. Loss of focus, distracted by busyness or survival or challenges. I'm distracted by this or by that, so I'm no longer living out that excellent spirit that I started with. Have a look at Luke chapter 10. I want to give you a bit of a strange example of this, because here we see a lady that you would think is actually exhibiting excellence in her life. But Jesus corrects her. In Luke 10, verse 38, it says, "Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.'" I'm just interested in this because it would seem that Mary's actually, you know, doing the right thing, or Martha rather. Is actually doing the right thing. It would seem that she's trying to present the best and have excellence. And she's trying to do the right thing. The problem is that she's been distracted on the stuff that's not as important. Yeah. And I just want to encourage, let's not get distracted on things that aren't so important. Yeah. Let's keep the focus of our excellence. You know, if we're going to really do our best, let's keep the focus on the things that are important. And Martha, Jesus said, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried about and upset about many things." So really, it wasn't just those few things she was doing. She was actually distracted by a whole lot of stuff in her life. But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Don't get distracted by a whole bunch of pressures or challenges or other stuff. Just keep your eyes focused on what God's got for you in life. Just keep your eyes focused on the thing that He's called you to do. In your workplace, what is your job? What are you called to do? What do you have to get done? And do that to the best of your ability. In the people around you, who are the people that God has called you to serve and encourage and lift up? Just keep your eyes focused and say, "God, I'm going to lift them up and encourage them." You know, in our mission work, where are the places that God has called us to serve and to encourage and lift up? Don't get distracted by all the other things that are going on. Keep focused on what God has called us to and do that well. People always look at us, they start getting involved with our mission program, and they go, I've had it said to me a number of times, they say, "You guys punch way above your weight." They say, "As a church, you just achieve stuff way beyond your numbers and resources." When they start to get to know us, they go, "That's just wild." And I say to them every time, it's because we focus on what God has called us to do. We don't get distracted on all the other stuff, but we just focus on what God's called us to do, and then we just give it everything we've got. The best that we have, we just get into that thing with the best people, the best resources, the best we can do. We pull them from anywhere, and we just put the best into what we can do. Don't get distracted. Get focused up on what God's called you to do, and then give your absolute best to that. Amen? I get thinking about I think it's 1 Corinthians 13 where Paul talks about love. And, you know, at the start of that, just the end of chapter 12, he says, I'll show you a more excellent way. He's talking to people who are seeking gifts and who are wanting to serve and are serving God with their gifts and doing a whole bunch of stuff which we would think of as being really good and really excellent. And yet he says there's a more excellent way. Then he goes on to teach them and to say, you need to love people. You need to love people. You need to value people more than your gifts and your abilities. You need to love people. There's a more excellent way. Get focused on those things that God has as important and do your best in those. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. So we get the idea? Excellence. To give the best that we have. Give the best that we have. Our finances, our efforts, our thoughts. What about our words? Are we giving the best words that we've got? Or are we giving the gutter words? Which way is that going? What about our workplace? Are we giving our best to our workplace, or are we just getting by? You know, just clock on, clock off, do the minimum. It's not the way for a follower of Christ. It's just not the way for a follower of Christ. God has called us to represent Him well. God has called us to make His message attractive. That's a fascinating verse, isn't it? That a slave can make the message of God attractive by their excellent spirit. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Why don't we stand together as we pray today? We bless you, Father. We thank you for the incredible gift that you have given us, that you always give us your best. And we just give you thanks and we give you praise. And Father, today we ask that you would forgive us for areas of our lives where we don't give our best, areas of our lives that we let slide, and we don't want to become weird perfectionists, but we do want to give our best for you. We do want to be children who bring honor to their Father by the way they conduct themselves in life. And so, Father, we pray, each one of us, Lord, that you forgive us for those areas where we've let you down and where we've not sought your best. And we pray, Father God, you lead us and guide us into the very best that we can be. That we would give of our best, that we would serve in the best way that we can. Lord, that you would do it in our hearts. Help us, strengthen us, release us to do the best that we can. Thank you, Lord. As we're praying this morning, if you're not in right relationship with God, then we would like to give you an opportunity to get in right relationship with God today. If you're ready to do that, then we'll pray for you right now. So if you're ready to make that commitment and to say, I want to be in right relationship with God, then you raise your hand right now and we'll pray with you this morning. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Fantastic. If you want to do that, now's the time. We won't wait long. We do want to give an opportunity, right relationship with God. It's time to get right with Him, serve Him, honor Him. You just raise your hand, we'll pray with you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Won't we pray together? Father God, I thank you for your love for me. I ask you to forgive me for my sin. I give my life to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Don't you love how simple the gospel is? That's all it takes. You say, God, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that Jesus died for me. Forgive me for my sin. I give myself to you. So simple. So simple. Why don't we live that out, eh? And just let that gospel flow out of us in the way we live, the way we treat people. Can we have that spirit of excellence everywhere we go? Not just put in our Sunday best, behave well and dress reasonably. Why don't we take that out of here and live that, eh? Would that be good? Amen. God bless you. Thanks, guys. These guys are going to come. Good on you.